public hearing is underway right now at the state capitol in Madison. Its subject is high-capacity wells, which increasingly fuel water-intensive operations in Wisconsin, including farm fields, animal feedlots, and frac sand mine operations.
Each well can extract more than 100,000 gallons of water per day. The proposed law eases the regulations regarding these wells, and right now, if someone wants to construct or operate a high-capacity well, the DNR must approve.
The bill would eliminate that provision. Issue groups, including the Dairy Business Association and the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association, applaud the proposal, but Bob Clark is among its critics.
He heads the Friends of Central Sands. Clark says rivers and lakes are being affected by the aggregate impact of large wells within sensitive watersheds. He shared his read of the bill with Lake Effect's Susan Bentz.
It grandfathers all existing wells, which includes all their existing environmental problems, and those will be held in place in perpetuity. That is one significant problem we have with this bill, and there are a few others as well.
So when you say environmental problems, what are you saying?
Well, for example, and it has been shown that some of the wells have been pumping so high, and the cumulative effects, which of course, if you remember the case, case that we took to the courts where we won, and Judge Bolt ruled that you must consider cumulative effects, will not be considered here. Attorney General Brad Schimmel had the opinion that the DNR did not have the authority to do that, and this bill basically codifies that opinion. So if there are wells that are pumping too much water in combination with their neighbor wells, and lakes and streams and wetlands are affected, that environmental problem basically will be held in perpetuity. It will continue to occur. They will not be able to ever, and that's the biggest word, ever change those wells. So it will never improve the problem.
Your area has been studied for quite a long time. I mean, I'm sure there's still mysteries in the hydrology, but much has been studied. Is that correct?
Yeah, these studies go back several decades, and the most particular one that people talk about is the Little Plover River study. The Little Plover River that runs just south of Stevens Point, for example, has been studied a few times, and most recently it was just studied again, and it has shown very specifically that the river actually runs dry at some times of the year because of the direct impact of the high-capacity wells. This bill talks about study areas, which sounds great. Unfortunately, a couple of very specific areas, for example, the Little Plover River, the area around Hancock Lake or Plainfield Lake, are not included in these study areas. But yet, the Little Plover River study has already shown that the high-capacity well has a negative impact, and it's yet totally being ignored in this study. Our lake, which is Pleasant Lake near Coloma, is in fact part of the study area. But it does not talk about the larger area around Pleasant Lake, which, of course, that's where the groundwater comes from in the whole watershed area. And these, you know, the problem with the study areas, it sounds great. Again, it's a great concept. They just don't factor in all the areas that actually need study. In fact, there is no guarantee that once the study is done and there's any recommendation, the legislator has to approve it. So the study could be dismissed, refuted, ignored. It doesn't really do anything other than sound good on paper. So again, it sounds like a very good bill on the surface, and it does, in fact, from a farming perspective and those that are pumping water, it does codify exactly status quo right now, but it really doesn't do the kinds of things that some of the words would imply that it does.
This is a statewide bill, but regions of our state have their particular hydrology and their soil compositions. And the Central Sands, it is just that. You're a very sandy zone, right?
Yeah, this is all the Leopold country, Sand County Almanac. That's exactly what it is. So water percolates to the groundwater fairly quickly, which is, you know, the blessing and curse in terms of perception. The assumption that many people have is when you irrigate ground, it goes right into the groundwater, and that's partially true. On one hand, what it does is takes the pollutants with it because of the sand, but also it's not one for one. So when you water the crops, much of that water is held in the crops, and much of that water goes out through the leaves in evaporation. So a very small percentage actually goes into the ground to recharge the groundwater. So it is a blessing curse in terms of our sandy soil.
So in growing crops, traditional crops, that requires a lot of water.
Especially in the sand. And potatoes, which is in the central sands area, is a very heavy crop, is a very water-intensive crop. That's part of the challenge as well.
So has your group had the opportunity to speak with any of the authors of the bill?
There have been several attempts by individuals to speak to the authors. This, of course, is a bill that came up last year mm-hmm. and has been slightly modified. So they are well aware and informed of our concerns. So there is no surprise in terms of how everyone feels about this. And again, this is not a matter of trying to take water away from farming, Susan. That is absolutely not the case. But there's got to be some balance. There has to be some looking at both sides, if you will. As George Kraft likes to say, there's got to be somebody doing the math. You can't take out more than what goes in, and that's just not sustainable.
And George Kraft is a scientist who's done a lot of the study that you've talked about.
Correct, yes, UW Stevens Point hydrologist.
Very sort of naive question, but hope springs eternal. Is there ever the opportunity for farmers and individuals, groups such as yours, to sit down at a table, or does that just not happen?
You know, there have been actually several attempts to do that, both from the Wisconsin Potato Vegetable Growers Association as well as a consortium of individual groups and individuals like ourselves. From personal opinion, I think that there really could be an opportunity to do that, and it should be. Again, everyone on both sides are pretty reasonable folks. But there are those that really, on both sides of any debate, there are those that are pretty entrenched in their area. And somewhere in the middle is the right answer. And I think there is an opportunity. I would love to see an opportunity for the groups to come together to create some of this certainty on their end, if you will, to some degree, as well as certainty from our end, that the property that I purchased on a lake, that the lake will, in fact, still be there. And people don't believe that happens, but there are lakes in the Central Sands that are literally dried up and are a few feet deep when they used to be many feet deep. And those things are, in fact, happening. And unfortunately, unless you drive by it, many people just don't believe it.
Is there an element of this bill that we haven't touched on that you feel needs to be explained?
There is a provision in the bill that nobody really understands why. It allows the lake districts to install a high-capacity well for no charge to support a study around the area. But that, again, it doesn't really mean anything. So we're gonna put more wells around the lake so we can study the problem of the lake when there's no ramification of the study at all. So we don't really understand the purpose of that being inserted into the bill.
Bob Clark is board president of the Friends of the Central Sands. He spoke with Susan Bentz about a bill that, at this moment, is being considered by the Senate Committee on Labor and Regulatory Reform in Madison. The public hearing is underway right now. You can hear WUWM's full coverage of the debate tomorrow during Morning Edition.